Fox News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, welcome to a new week. There are now just 34 days to go until Election Day, with early voting underway in many parts of the country. We're keeping things local on today's Countdown 2024, talking with L.A. County District Attorney candidate Nathan Hochman, with just over a week to go before the KNX News DA's debate. And we will also look at one of the ultra-competitive House races in Orange County that could determine which party controls Congress. But first, what's happening in the political world, Margaret?
What is happening, do you say? Former President Donald Trump on the ground in Georgia today. He was touring the site of just recent absolute destruction brought on by Hurricane Helene. Trump injecting politics into disaster recovery. He said in remarks this afternoon that Georgia Governor Brian Kemp was having a hard time getting President Joe Biden on the phone in the wake of the hurricane. For his part, Governor Kemp said he talked with Biden several times over the weekend. Vice President Kamala Harris meeting with FEMA officials today to help coordinate hurricane response.
Tim Walz and J.D. Vance are feverishly preparing for tomorrow night's vice presidential debate, which will likely be the final direct clash between the two campaigns before Election Day. The VP debate, which you will be able to hear live right here on KNX News, is hosted by CBS from New York City. Margaret Brennan and Nora O'Donnell will be the moderators, and they've announced that they will not be fact-checking either candidate during the debate.
And in a sign of the legal chaos to come, Democrats in Georgia have sued the Georgia State Election Board, claiming that a new rule ordering counties to count ballots by hand would invite major delays in calculating results on election night and put the security of ballots at risk. This is just one of several lawsuits filed by both Democrats and Republicans challenging various election rules.
And now on to the L.A. County DA's race. Nathan Hochman is no stranger to the prosecutor's role. He had a long career in the U.S. Justice Department, eventually serving as a U.S. Assistant Attorney General. Hochman was president of the Los Angeles City Ethics Commission, and in 2022, he ran as the Republican candidate for California's Attorney General. That was against Rob Bonta. Now, Nathan Hochman wants to be L.A. County's top prosecutor. He joins us on Countdown 2024, just 1 week, by the way, out from the KNX News DA debate. That is on the 8th of October. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Let me start off, because we touched on your legal background. So let me ask you this. I mean, you have made much of the fact that you have a long history as a prosecutor, trial experience, and your opponent, the current DA of Los Angeles County, George Gascon, does not. But is that, do you think, really a fair criticism? There are plenty of DAs, and I've checked around the country, a growing number, actually, who don't come from a trial background experience. They come from other legal experiences, but nonetheless, they seem to be doing a fair enough or maybe even a good job in their own jurisdictions. Do you really think it makes that much of a difference?
I think it makes a huge difference, because not only do I have a prosecutorial experience as a federal prosecutor and a U.S. Assistant Attorney General appointed by the president, unanimously confirmed by the U.S. Senate, that's 10 years in 100 cases. I have 24 years as a defense attorney and over 200 cases in state and federal court, defending people, asserting their constitutional rights, making sure that the presumption of innocence is respected and that the government builds its case beyond a reasonable doubt. So I will be able to lead these prosecutors by example. I have personally, for instance, done task forces. I spearheaded the Los Angeles Disaster Fraud Task Force. In contrast, when Mayor Bass set up her smash and grab organized retail crime task force, she didn't even invite DA Gascon to the press conference because he is such a lightning rod for criminals. So I can lead these prosecutors, the 750 prosecutors who represent the DA's office. Gascon has lost their confidence. 98%
But when you say, and by the way, we should point out that we have asked George Gascon to be on this program as well, and we are still waiting for a response. And we are now talking with Nathan Hochman, who is the challenger for the position of LA County DA. When you say that Gascon is a lightning rod for criminals, isn't that a tad bit too harsh. Isn't that, it's very dramatic and it sounds good. It's a good campaign slogan, I'll give you that. But isn't that a little bit too much?
Well, let's let your listeners decide the facts. Number one, Mayor Bass didn't invite him to the press conference, although she invited the sheriff, the police chief, and other local law enforcement, even though Gascon's in charge of prosecuting all those cases. And on Gascon's first day in office, he issued 9 special directives, and I'll point out 2 of them that still are in existence. If you are a juvenile under 18 and you steal under $950, which is a misdemeanor, Gascon has said the DA's office will not prosecute you. If you are involved in a criminal street gang and as part of your involvement in that gang and motivated by being in the gang, you engage in a violent crime, Gascon has a blanket policy never to impose the gang enhancement. So I would say that those are very pro-criminal in the sense if you're part of a gang, hallelujah, George Gascon is your prosecutor because he won't go after the gang enhancement no matter what the crime is. And the same thing with juveniles. I mean, we saw it recently where 12 to 15-year-olds rode their bikes to a 7-Eleven, ransacked the place, rode out because George Gascon has a policy not to prosecute juveniles for stealing under $950, which is an incredibly dangerous precedent where you're building a culture of lawlessness amongst our youth that they can then sort of take for the next couple of years as the spiral of lawlessness gets much more serious.
Let's talk a little bit about you, Mr. Hochman, because we were talking about, you know, the fact that you've really been on both sides of justice, right? Prosecutor and defense attorney. You have put yourself out there as a more traditional prosecutor, one that is tough on crime as well as focused on stemming mass incarceration. How do you do both of those things?
Here's how you do it. You reject extreme policies. George Gascon's extreme policy, he calls it decarceration. It says rather than consider the facts and the law of a particular case, he's going to interject his personal political agenda to predetermine that certain crimes and certain criminals will not be prosecuted, even though the facts and the law would otherwise justify prosecution. I reject that extreme. I also reject the extreme of mass incarceration because both extremes don't work. Where I go back to is where even-keeled, balanced prosecutors have been for decades. And that's the middle, and I call it the hard middle because it requires work. Blanket policies are inherently lazy. The hard middle requires you to look at each case individually, look at each defendant, the defendant's background, the crime committed, and the impact on the victim to determine who the true threats are to our public safety and need to be behind bars, and quite candidly, the ones that aren't. Your first-time nonviolent offender, if they violate society's laws, they have to pay their debt back to society. But that often can be through a non-prison alternative like community service, restitution. If you steal something, pay it back. Or if you have a serious drug addiction, a diversion program that gives you a choice between going to jail or an 18-month rehab program, which if you pass it one day at a time, at the end of it, you'll get a certificate and they'll wipe your record clean of that crime.
Right. We're talking with Nathan Hochman, who is the challenger for the position of Los Angeles County DA. And as I've pointed out already, we've asked George Gascon, the current DA, to come on the program as well. And hopefully he will. Let me ask you this, because you've also made mention of the fact in some of the debates thus far that there's a lot of opposition to Gascon in his own office among the ranks of those who work in the DA's office. And so a lot of people don't like him, and I think that's probably true, but a lot of people do. My guess is if you won, there are going to be people in the DA's office that will like you and some who won't. Do you get rid of the ones who you don't get along with, and what will that do to morale in the DA's office?
Well, let's start with what's going on there right now. This isn't like 50% of the prosecutors don't like him or 20%. 98% voted to support his recall. He had, I recently, 2 days ago, over 200 prosecutors put their names on an endorsement of my campaign, which is quite courageous for them because Gascon has a history of retaliating against people who stand against him, which is why he's facing 20 retaliation lawsuits from his own people. So you have a situation, and by the way, over 200 seasoned, experienced lawyers have left the DA's office because they refused to work for Gascon. So we're not talking about just a couple people who are disgruntled. We're talking about the entire office has effectively rejected their boss. And by the way, that's not the first time that's happened. you know, he's from the LAPD, and the LAPD is backing me in this election, the officers. He's from the San Francisco Police Department. The San Francisco Police Officer Association has endorsed me and told the people of LA, look, we tried to tell you in 2020 not to make him your DA, and we're telling you once again in 24, don't elect this guy as your DA.
You know, when
So I'll be able to work with anybody who's on mission for the safety of the people of Los Angeles, whether they support me or not. If they're on mission, they will have a partner in Nathan Hochman to go ahead and accomplish that mission.
You know, when you think of crimes, Mr. Hochman, like shoplifting, there are underlying reasons for why people steal, inflation, the economy. What sorts of solutions do you have to offer to address those things?
So what the solutions I have is the range of punishments that are available. Because what I'm not going to do is pretend if someone, like for instance, every 7-Eleven that you encounter is actually owned by an individual. And I met with 100 7-Eleven franchisee owners, and they tell me they don't even refer the cases to the law enforcement because the DA's office won't prosecute them. They don't even go to their insurance company because the insurance deductible is more than the loss. And if they file the claim, they'll lose the policy. So what I have told these folks and what I will tell you and what I will tell criminals is if you go ahead and commit these crimes, you will be held accountable. But we will figure out what crime, what punishment meets the crime in a smart, effective way. So again, if someone is stealing and they're a first-time offender, it might be that they have to pay the money back. And it might be that they pay $10 a week for the next 2 years. It might be that they do community service. And if they do have a drug addiction, we will give them that choice. You can go to jail, or you can go through a drug rehab program, conquer, hopefully, your drug addiction or get it under control, and then become a productive citizen, and we'll wipe your record clean of that crime.
All right. We have to go on that note. Nathan Hochman, the candidate challenging L.A. County District Attorney George Gascón in this race.
And we have extended an invite for Gascón to come on the program. And also, remember, there's going to be the debate between Gascón and Nathan Hochman, the KNX News Los Angeles Times. They are our partners on the debate. That is on the 8th of October coming up. The party that controls Congress in 2025 will very likely be decided by House races right here in Southern California.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Thank you so much for sticking with us. With Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. Almost every political forecast out there has the fight for control over Congress being incredibly tight, with Democrats and Republicans both facing pretty much even odds for coming out as the majority party after November 5th. There are three key House races right here in Southern California, one in Riverside, one in the Antelope Valley, and one in Orange County that will likely decide the fate of the House.
Now, one of those races is the 45th Congressional District, which includes cities like Westminster, Fountain Valley, and Buena Park in Orange County. Republican Michelle Steele is the incumbent there. Countdown 2024 invited her onto the show, but she declined. So today we will speak with her challenger, Democrat Derek Tran, who is an Army veteran, an attorney, and he hopes to be the first Vietnamese member of Congress to represent Little Saigon in Westminster. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Charles. Hi, Margaret.
So that's a lot to have resting on your shoulders, to know that yours is one of the races that could help determine which party controls the House of Representatives. Is that weighing on you?
Yeah, absolutely, Charles. One of the things that I have to share is that, you know, this community is so hungry for representation, you know, good representation. Someone who's actually going to care about bringing back resources and funding to the district, voting for bills that support infrastructure, inflation reduction. That's unlike the challenger that my opponent that's in this race, who has voted against those bills. So, you know, I'm looking forward to taking on this run and representing this community.
You know, there was a survey from last year, Derek, by the Pew Research Center that found 51% of registered Vietnamese voters either identify with or lean Republican, compared with 42% who favor Democrats. So as the Democrat in this race, I wonder how you have sought to flip that.
Yeah. And from the very beginning in the primary, what I did was I made sure that I hired my own parallel campaign manager to run a parallel campaign to my general campaign to make sure I focus only on the Vietnamese community because it's such a big electorate in my district. And that has panned out very well for us. We got through the primary, and I'll share that when right after the primary, I had these older Vietnamese Republicans come up to me, many of them sharing with me that in the 30, 40 plus years that they've been in this country, I am the first Democrat that they ever voted for because they believe representation matters and it's time for our community to have a voice in D.C.
Okay, so when you say time for your community to have a voice in D.C., if you got elected, what two things, just two, would you try to do that you think your opponent, the incumbent Republican congresswoman from your district, what has she not done that you think you could accomplish if you get elected?
I'll stand up for the rights of women to be in charge and make their own healthcare decisions. That's something that Michelle Steele has stood up against, signing on to a life at conception two times in the past. That is a national ban on abortion without any exceptions, whether it's incest, rape, or the health of the mother. I am a proud father of a young daughter. I do not want to think of a day for her to grow up where she cannot make her own healthcare decisions. So one of the first things that I want to do is codify Roe v. Wade and work towards that in Congress. The other thing that my community deeply cares about is our economy. You know, the inflation's out of control, cost is going up, whether it's at the grocery stores or, you know, childcare. These are things that my community deeply cares about. We need more federal legislation out there that reduces inflation to make sure we hold companies accountable for greedflation, taking advantage of consumers.
We are talking with Derek Tran, who is trying to unseat Republican Congresswoman Michelle Steele in Orange County. Certainly a key race that we are dealing with here. How confident are you moving into November? We're getting pretty close.
You know, I feel really good, Margaret. I appreciate the question. You know, one of the things that I've seen over the course of this last month is that Cook Political Reporter has re-rated the race from leading Republican to toss-up. I received the LA Times endorsement a few weeks back, and Fox News just a few days ago made the race toss-up as well. So, you know, the momentum is there. You know, we had internal polling and a USC poll that was released within the last week that shows that I'm up by 2 points.
Derek Tran, who is trying to unseat Congresswoman Michelle Steele in Orange County, sticking with us for some closing thoughts on Countdown 2024 next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of the Monday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
Derek Tran, the Democratic candidate trying to unseat Republican Congresswoman Michelle Steele in California's 45th district, remains with us to close out the show.
So, Derek, you are a Democrat. What kind of help, if any, have you been getting from the Harris campaign?
You know, I'm proud to share that I've always ran a very strong campaign in the primary without national support. We've built a coalition that is supported by the community, activists, leaders. But since I've gotten through the primary, I was made red to blue by the DCCC. They've come in heavily with investments. We have two offices, thanks to the DCCC, five field staffers paid for by them, large investments in how we're communicating via mail and hybrid. These are all things that the party is investing in this campaign as I continue to build on my coalition in my community.
Something interesting real quick that I read about you was that you went to go put some signs up at a business and the gentleman was a Republican. At first he said no, but he's also a veteran and that really changed his mind. Are you seeing more of that?
I am. You know, that story is very neat in the sense that this this business has a key, it was located at a key intersection, and signage there was very important for the campaign. And when we reached out to him, he said no. And the minute he found out that I served my country, he took a liking to me because he was a fellow veteran, and now allows us to use the storefront with our signs. And, you know, that's an amazing thing to get from my community. And there's been others who really love the fact that I've served my country.
Excellent. Derek Tran, the Democratic candidate trying to unseat GOP Congresswoman Michelle Steele in California's 45th district. Thank you.
On tomorrow's show, we preview the debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. We will also talk with Riverside County Republican Congressman Ken Calvert, who is fighting for his political survival. And remember, we're here every afternoon, 2:30 through Election Day. If you miss the show, catch up with a replay at 8. Also on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024. Follow the show.